This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So today we'll move on, inshallah, to the next hadith, which is the hadith of Umm al-Mu'mineen, Umm al-Hakam, Zainab bint Jahsh. Zainab bint Jahsh, this is one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل عليها فزعا وهو يقول لا إله إلا الله ويل للعرب من شر قد اقترب فتح اليوم من ردم يأجوج ومأجوج مثل هذه وحلق بأصبعه الإبهام والتي تليها فقلت يا رسول الله أنهلك وفينا الصالحون قال نعم إذا كثر الخبث. I guess this hadith also we tackled it last week, right? It is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which he prophesies about the arrival of the fitan, especially in that part of the land of the Arabs. He says, "Waylul lil Arab, woe unto them, min shadin qad iqtaraba, for an evil that is facing them." To get an idea, evil that is facing them. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Today, some part of the barrier or the wall of the Ya'juj or Ma'juj is open." Last week, if you can remember, we have mentioned that Ya'juj and Ma'juj, they are among the signs of the Day of Judgment. And their arrival is Eidhan, with the closeness of the Day of Judgment. When you see these creation, they are also human beings. When you see them, that means the Day of Judgment is very near. So those people who carry the Liwa'ul Islam, they were the one who carried the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all over the world as the Arabs. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, there is an evil, the shar is facing the Arabian Peninsula. You get idea from the side of Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. So Zainab said, Ya Rasulullah, does that mean we will be destroyed even if there is among us those righteous people? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes, إِذَا كَثُرَ الْخَبَثُ, when the evil is too much, then the destruction from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come and includes everyone. Get it? That shows the evil attitude of somebody who lives in the midst of people who are not righteous, but he is not passing the da'wah to them. It's really dangerous, as we had mentioned earlier, that when the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, it will include him also. Get it? Allah says, وَقَدْ نَزَّلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الْكِتَابِ أَنْ إِذَا سَمِعْتُمْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ يُكْفَرُ بِهَا وَيُسْتَهَزَأُ بِهَا فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَاهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ إِنَّكُمْ إِذَا مِثْلُهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have revealed to you in the book, and this is the Quran, that whenever you hear some people playing with the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and putting them in the wrong way, which means necessarily that they're going against the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَاهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it is revealed to you that whenever you be in a place where the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are misplaced, some people are disbelieving in them, or they're going against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of the commissions of the sins, Allah says, فَلَا تَقْعُدُوا مَاهُمْ حَتَّى يَخُوذُوا فِي حَدِيثٍ غَيْرِ. Do not stay with them until they change the topic. So from this ayah we learned that you are not supposed to stay with the Ahlul Ma'asi. You should leave the place. You get it? خَشْيَةَ أَنْ يُسِيبَكَ مَا قَدْ يُسِيبُهُمْ. If there is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which is going to visit that place, it will include you also. Get it? It will include you. So the punishment will include you and include, I mean, will go to them and will also include whoever is with them. So that's the reason why I said it is very dangerous for a person to live in the midst of a people who are in need of da'wah, but at the same time, he is not giving the da'wah to them. Allah says, إِنَّكُمْ إِذًا مِثْرُ, you will be considered in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like one of them. So that's the summary of the second hadith also that we discussed last week. So the first hadith for today is the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال إياكم والجلوس في الطرقات فقالوا يا رسول الله ما لنا من مجالسنا بد نتحدث فيها فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا أبيتم إلا المجلس فأعطوا الطريق حقه قالوا يا رسول الله وما حق الطريق قال غض البصر وكف الأذى ورد السلام والأمر بالمعروف والنهى عن المنكر. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said إياكم الجلوس في الطرقات. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said I warned you from sitting at the side of the roads. You know, usually in every community you have, especially the young ones, you get it in the evening time, they come and sit out of one of the houses, they discuss their issues, right? In every place you find this, you get it? Even here in UI also sometimes you find some people sitting at the side of the road, enjoying their life. Yeah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I warn you from doing that. The Prophet said, Ya Rasulullah, these are on places that we usually sit and enjoy our life. We have no any other choice. We have to sit in those places. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, but if you insist, then you have to give the right of the road. The problem is, I am afraid maybe you might not be able to give the right of the road. That's why I said, do not sit. Because there are certain rights that you have to give to those people who are passing you. So he says, إِيَّاكُمْ الْجُلُوسَ فِي الطُّرُقَاتِ. He said, I warn you from sitting on the roads. They said, Ya Rasulullah, هَذِهِ مَجَالُسُنَا مَا لَنَا بُدُّنْ. Ya Rasulullah, these are our own places that we usually sit, and we don't have any other choice. We have to sit in those places. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَإِذَا أَبَيْتُمْ إِلَّا الْمَجْلِسَ. If you insist and you disagree to stay away from them, you disagree with me in staying away from them, he says, then أَعْطُ الطَّرِيقَ حَقَّهُ. Give the right of the road. Sit on the road, but no problem with that. Go and keep sitting in your own positions, but at the same time, you have to give the right of the road. They say, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا حَقُّ الطَّرِيقَ. So what is the right of that road? Since we insist to sit in that place, so what is the right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, غَدُّ الْبَصَرِ. Now we begin. غَدُّ الْبَصَرِ, lowering the gaze. Get it? Anyone who passes you from the opposite gender, you look. And you make comments sometimes, right? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, غَدُّ الْبَصَرِ. Lower your gaze. So if he can do that, then go and sit. Because it will be very difficult. You're going to have people sitting in that, passing through that place, sometimes it will be very difficult for you to keep quiet. If you keep quiet, your brother might not keep quiet. Get it? So the first right of the road is to lower your gaze. Allah says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَقُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. Tell the believing man to lower their gaze. Some part of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because there are certain circumstances where looking at the opposite gender is halal. Get an idea? For instance, somebody intended to marry. Real intention. Not that whenever you want to look, you intend to marry. After you satisfy yourself, then you cancel your intention. No, it doesn't go like that. Real intention. You have intention to marry, and the scholars also added one condition here also. They said, you must be sure that people like you will be accepted. You get it? You're one of the ayuhannas in the community. You know ayuhannas? low people in the community. And you want to marry from the daughter of the king. Yeah, it is not impossible, but usually according to the culture, daughters of the king goes to the prince, right? They don't go to the people like that one. So the scholar said he has to be very sure that, not really sure, but he has to have a high expectation that these people will agree with him. Because there are circumstances, you know, it will be a miracle if you accept it. In this case, you look at other blessings of Allah, because they are a lot. Get it? So it's wrong for a person to marry a sister that he doesn't know who she is. It's wrong, very wrong. Those cultural practices that are based on pictures, these are all wrong. Because picture doesn't represent, in most instances, the reality. You might be dirty so much. You appear in the picture more handsome than the rest who are dressed up. That's pictures. Do you get an idea? So you have people, they see the picture, but when it comes to the reality, they deny. And then the parent will hold them accountable of their words. You told us you agree. What should be his reply? I agreed with the picture. I did not agree with this. Do you get an idea? So that's it. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not say go to the picture. He said he should go and look at that which will make you attractive. فَإِنَّهُ أَحْرَى أَنْ يُؤْدَمَ بَيْنَكُمَا. Do you get it? That which will make you attracted to her, because this is more likely to bring you guys all together and to maintain a good relationship between, both spouses. But one point that I want you to learn here also, Sharia legalized what? Looking, right? For what? لِلْإِسْتِعْلَام. Okay, looking is permissible for both suitors because of what? لِلْإِسْتِعْلَامِ. إِسْتِعْلَام means looking for information. لَا لِلْإِسْتِمْتَاعِ. Not to enjoy. Do you get it? So this is what the scholars have mentioned. And a student of knowledge or anyone who wants to marry, he has to put this in mind. Looking is permissible for information, not tamattu, not enjoyment. But the scholars said, if your intention is good, but then you look, you're overtaken by that which you have seen, and then enjoyment comes by itself, you will not be blamed. Contrary to the one who intended that. Do you get the idea? So don't go to that place and change your intention. You get it? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth. So when he says, min absarihim, it means that it is not in all circumstances looking is haram. There might be circumstances where looking is halal for the sake of information. Like the judge in the court. He also, the scholar said, he can look because he has to know who is exactly that person that he is dealing with. So when he looked into the books of the fuqaha, you can see those exemptions of the Sharia concerning the one who is allowed to look. Why is Sharia so strict? And if the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not understand, we do understand living in this contemporary era where evil and the promiscuity is rampant. And most of these evils comes from the source of the looking. So Allah says, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِ وَيَحْفَظُ فُرُوجَهُ. Right? الْفَرْجُ يُحْفَظُ. That's why he did not say min furuji, because you have to stay away from anything that is wrong that somebody might do with his private power. Cannot be legalized except through those channels that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them permissible. But looking, you can have some of the circumstances where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it permissible for those people who are not supposed to look initially. So the first right of the road is what? Do not look at those whom you are not supposed to look at them, right? Lowering the gaze. Allah says, يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Okay, that's the first, right? The second one, he says, وَكَفُّ الْأَذَى, and staying away from harming others. SubhanAllah, we are living in a time whereby you don't feel secured sometimes when you pass some people because they talk about you. And sometimes when it happened, yani accidentally you look, they might laugh when they see you. What does that mean? They might be, I'm not saying sure, but they might be talking about you. People do that. And this is very bad. That's the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not sit. Go to your home, go to your room, go to your office and live there. You don't need to come, because if you come out and sit in public, you might see something that will cause you a trouble. Because when you see somebody, you are not supposed to make comment. If he has deficiency, you fix it. But don't talk about him. This is what we call backbiting. And this backbiting is going to be paid on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you have any injustice over you that you take from your Muslim brother and sister, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should settle the case today, before the day comes in which there is no dinar or dirham. And he says, this madhlama min irdin aw mal, whether it is, part of his honor and dignity that you affected one day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you should settle the case here. And wallahi, my brothers and sisters, I will advise you with this. If you want to succeed in this life, control your tongue. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, tuba liman malaka lisanahu wa wasi'ahu baytuhu wa baka li khati'atihi. The Prophet ﷺ said, the one who controls his tongue succeeds. You know? He said, the one who controls his tongue succeeds. In some narration, he says, when they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, how do we succeed in this life? He says, control your tongue. The one who controls his tongue succeeds. And also the one whose house is sufficiently enough for him succeeds. You know, because when you live in in your house, most likely you will not be engaged in any evil attitudes. Although nowadays also we have sins being committed at home, but if you come out, you're more likely to be involved in sins than when you are isolated in your house. That's why if I'm to suggest, I would suggest that whenever you don't need to come out, be at home. Especially those people who are having family, I'm telling you, the best attitude after you finish your work, go home and live with your family members. Stay with them, enjoy life with them, make them happy, make them laugh. You get it? Just be with them like that. Discuss issues with them. You get it? Settle your own affairs at home. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to when he says, if you are done with your activities out of the house, you should quickly go back home. Especially nowadays where we live a kind of a life, the father works, the mother works, everyone is working, the children, they have no time with the parent because they also go to school. That's why the tarbiyah in most instances is not that perfect. Get it? We have to be really careful on these matters, you know. So the best thing is, if you don't have anything outside, you work, you go and become productive to benefit the community. When everything is done, come back home. Because staying outside unnecessarily can cause you to go against the laws. Either the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the law of the leaders in the community. So that's why it is always better for you when you're done, go back to your family. If you don't have family, make one. That means marry. If you're not intending to make one, then go home. Stay in your room. Get it? Ibn Abdul Qawi says, فَكُنْ حِلْسَ بَيْتٍ فَهُوَ سِتْرٌ لِعَوْرَةٍ وَحِرْزُ الْبَتَعَنْ فَتَعَنْ كُلِّ غَوِنْ وَمُفْسِدٍ. He asks you to restrict yourself to your home. That's Ibn Abdul Qawi, one of the scholars of Tarbiyah. He says, stay home if you don't have anything. It'll preserve your honor, it protect your aura, and also it protects you from any innovation and deviation that might come, and any sin being committed collectively by others in the community. If you're at home, it will never come and reach you. So back to the first part of the success. He says what? Control your tongue. And then stay home if you don't have anything. And the last one he says, you cry when you commit sin between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, he doesn't mention that you get busy talking about the sins of others, right? Nowadays we are more concerned about the sins of others than our own sins. We become so perfect, so excellent, so pure and clean, and others are so corrupt. What kind of life is this? You get it? So we don't care about our sins, but we care about other people's sins. You know, this is a very dangerous life. Wallahi, this is a very dangerous life. The moment you start picking up the sins of others and you forget yours, you're gone. You're gone. Only Allah knows what is there in your heart. Only Allah knows what you're doing. Allah says, وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُزَكِّي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. The best way of life, my brothers and sisters, is you don't talk about anyone. When you see wrong thing coming from him, he is your brother. Go and sit with him and advise him. Instead of going around talking, go and advise him. Most likely that which he does, either he is doing correct, because sometimes also my brother is correct, actually I'm wrong. Go and sit with him. Explain to him why is he wrong. In the nice way, of course. Wallah, he will appreciate it from you. And this is real brotherhood, you know. This is the real brotherhood. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the mu'min is the mir'ah, is the mirror to another mu'min, you know. If he sees any deficiency from him, he fix it. He doesn't talk about that. But we're living in a time whereby I'm just willing to see the deficiency of my Muslim brother so that I can spread it in the community. This is a very dangerous life. Wallahi, this is a very dangerous life. Life which doesn't know cooperation and help and trying to complete each other. This is a very dangerous life and useless life, actually. And this is not the life in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wants the ummah to be upon. The good life is I learn good and I go and teach the community that good. And I try to protect their honor and dignity. If I see deficiency, I don't spread it to others. I try to go and fix it. Imagine this is how we live. Everyone is like that. trying to fix others, wallahi, life will be better on earth. But this is Islam. Read the life of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and see, they were like that. They don't go and talk about themselves when one of them is wrong. If somebody speak against the other one, people will jump on him and tell him no. Somebody, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talk about Ka'ab, somebody says, Ya Rasulullah, nothing stop him from following us except Burda. Burda means those garments, he has very beautiful and warm garment. He has no excuse. You know, one of the companions, when he heard that, he says, no, Ya Rasulullah, we knew nothing about this man except good. Allahu Akbar. And Ka'ab is not there. He said, Ya Rasulullah, no, we know nothing about him except good. This is how a brother should be. Look for excuse. Go to him afterwards and remind him about Allah, but preserve his honor and dignity. Fix him first. You get it? This is the life that we're supposed to do. So back to the hadith, he says what? Kafful adha. Do not harm anyone. You know, do not harm anyone. So back when you sit on the road, you shouldn't talk against anyone. Get it? Mind your business. When somebody pass, don't talk about him. Because you're going to carry this oppression on the Day of Judgment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَانَتِ الْوُجُوهُ لِلْحَيِّ الْقَيُّومِ وَقَدْ خَمَ مَنْ حَمَلَ ظُلْمًا. On the Day of Judgment, you will see faces being humbled towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you want to see the real loser, is the one who brings back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala oppressions. Somebody who carries oppression to the Day of Judgment, if you want to see the real loser in this life as well as the hereafter, is somebody who brings along with him oppressions. So I will close this session because these are serious matters. You live with people but you don't feel secured. That's wrong. You get it? That's wrong. This is not the attitude of Muslims and the believers. Wallahi, sometimes you visit some places, the people that you never expect them to do that, but everyone is minding his business. Although they go beyond the limits also in that, but at least they don't talk against others. They mind their business. Muslims should be like that. You mind your business. When you see something wrong from your Muslim brother or a sister, you remind them about that which Allah SWT wants them to do. That's the life. So if you want the thing that can help you to maintain this advice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pay attention to this hadith. He says, Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever believes in Allah and the hereafter, he should always say good or keep quiet. SubhanAllah, very nice life. When you open your mouth, make sure that good comes out of it. If you know you're not going to speak good, what is the other option given to you? Silence. Keep quiet. Imam Shafi'i says, رَأَيْتُ سُكُوتِ مَتْجَرًا فَالْتَزَمْتُهُ إِذَا لَمْ يُفِدْ رِبْحًا فَلَسْتُ بِخَاسِرِ. He said, I have found that my silence is a very fertile place for business. You get it? The place where if you do business in that area, you will always gain. Who is saying this? Imam Shafi. He says, I realize that my silence is a very excellent business that I will never lose in it. He says, إِذَا لَمْ يُفِدْ رِبْحًا فَلَسْتُ بِخَاسِرِ. If I do not gain any profit, I will never lose at the same time. Do you get an idea? That's the benefit of sukut, when talking is not necessary. In some places, Imam Shafi gave the example of somebody who talks always without necessity. He says, "Wal usdu tukhsha wa hiya samitatun wal kalbu yukhza aw yukhsa la'amri wa huwa nabbah." To get an idea, he says, you see the lions. When you see the lions, how is that? Everyone is scared of them. True or false? True. I remember the first time we visited the Zoo Nagara. Many of those people, they couldn't approach the place where the lions are. Why? Because they see the fence is very low. One of them, I still recall his word, he says, me and lion like this? He says, never. I told him, no, the government, when they leave it like that, that's been the place is secure. You can go. He says, no, I would never trust being closer to life. These are lions in any community, they were like that. How much do lion talks? In most instances, if they're not hungry, they don't talk. Do you get it? They don't talk at all. They act. Their action is more than talking. But how about the other one, the dog? How much it talks? A lot. Tell me, where is dog respected? Even if the man in the Western community respected dog and they give the wasiyah to the dog, not their family, okay, this is their business, but their kids, when they see dog, they throw stone on it. So Imam Shafi was saying, look at the differences. This one is always silent, but people are scared of it, get it? And this one talks always, but nobody respects it. And in our life, my brothers and sisters, the one who talks too much, people don't show respect to him in the way they show respect to the one who is silent in most instances. Do you get it? So, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. Okay, this is number two, right? Kaful Adha. Number three, Radd Salam. Replying the salam when somebody say the salam to you. This is also one of the missing ingredients in our communities. SubhanAllah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, As-salamu ala al-ma'rifa. People will not say salam to each other except if they know each other. You see, it is a sign of the Day of Judgment. Nowadays, even if they know each other, what is the salam? Hi. What is the other one? The gangsters, they hit like that. I met some kids. One of them gave me hand like this. So I just became frozen. He says, sir, you're supposed to do like that. I said, you have to teach me first how to. So, SubhanAllah, شوف تستبدلون الذي هو أدنى بالذي هو خير. One of them was making fun. He says, whoever says to you hi, you tell them what? Wa alaykum al hi. Astaghfirullah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ask and command you to do what? To say assalamu alaykum. First of all, assalam is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, that is a remembrance of Allah. And whenever you say it, you're making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happy and you will be rewarded for that. SubhanAllah, and we skip this, we change it with our own words. Do you get the idea? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in an authentic hadith, he says, one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is As-Salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places on earth so that you guys will say it a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I swear by the one who holds my soul, in which my soul is held by him. Who is that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will never make it to paradise before you believe. And you will never reach the peak of faith and belief until you love each other. And then he says, أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحببتم. He said, don't you want me to guide you to something in which if you do it, you will love each other? They said, yes, Ya Rasulullah. What did he say? أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Get it? It's a sign of faith. When Muslim lead, and what does that mean? It means the peace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the peace from Allah and His blessings be upon you. Why do we change with something else? If Allah accepts that dua, Allah, you succeed. You know? You meet your Muslim brother, you shake his hand, he shakes your hand. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your zunub and his zunub, they will be dropped down just like the way you see the awraq al-shajar, the dry leaves of the tree falling down when they were shook by what? By the wind. Do we remember this? And then you will make it like, you replace it with this. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shaking hand. Ibn Abdul Qawi says, wasafih liman talqahu min kulli muslimin. Yani tanathar khatayakum kama fil musannadi. If you do that, your sins will be dropped down. So sometimes when you do this, people, these are so simple things. in Islam, you are dwelling on silly things, subhanAllah. Something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, and somebody will say this is simple matter. Allah says, وَإِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّوا بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. So it is highly recommended that when you meet your Muslim brother, as long as you see a sign of Islam in him, to say assalamu alaikum to him. And when you say assalamu alaikum to him, he is supposed to reply you wujuban. He has to reply. Allah says, فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّهَا. He's supposed to reply with the best. He says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. If he says, assalamu alaikum, you should say what? Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. That's the best. If he says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, you should say, assalamu alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. What if he says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh? Then you go for what? Some scholars said you should say, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh wa maghfiratuh. Because Allah SWT says, bi ahsana minha. They are depending on the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that added wa maghfiratuh. But unfortunately, that narration is weak. That's why many scholars said, the highest level we reach is to keep ourselves within the limit in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept us. What is that? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up to this moment, ta'assiyan bin Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you stay away from any doubt in that controversy of the scholars. So the point here is, one of the hukuk al-tariq is that when somebody says salam to you, you must say wa alaykum assalam. You have to reply him. They get an idea? Wujuban. So that's haq number three. He says, وَرَدُّ السَّلَامِ وَالْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهَيْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And also to do أَمْرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَالنَّهَيْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. It means command people to do righteous deed. You see somebody passes who needed to be fixed, tell him this is wrong in a nice way, of course. That this approach of yours is wrong, you're supposed to do it in this way because of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. With wisdom, gently, maybe Allah SWT will guide him at your hand. And that sitting will be a success for you, because if this person is going to be guided, whatever he does after that guidance, you will get the same reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him. SubhanAllah. This is the real tijara allati lan tabu. The real tijara that will never fail is the tijara of guiding others. You put them in the right way. So when you do that, whatsoever they do in their life, after that reminder that came from you, you will be rewarded. The same reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them without taking from them. Separately, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you. So imagine you are sleeping at home, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you a lot of reward because of your guidance towards others. So you can see this is a very important hadith that shows how Islam is comprehensive. First, advise you to the best, because you might not be able to fulfill these rights. But if you think you have the power and the strength to do them, Islam guided you upon a method and a manner in which if you do it, your sitting at the side of the road will be a success. Do you get the idea? Lower your gaze, stay away from harming others, reply the salam, give amr bil ma'ruf wa nahy anil munkar, your sitting will be a success. And add to that, whenever you leave the place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you should end your majlis with what? Kafaratul majlis right? Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And this will be the end of our lesson today also. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.